fast. Unbelievable.
Afternoon at 2 on 100.3 The Biz.
Hi, this is Jim with I Work For Him. Please call our listener line and leave us a question or suggestion about a topic you would like covered on I Work For Him. 866-713-9675. 866-713-WORK. 866-713-9675.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
What if God has more for you at your 9-to-5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work For Him. Join the I Work For Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work For Him Nation to Christ followers working in workplaces all over the United States, you've tuned into the voice of the faith and work movement. We're so grateful that you tuned in today, as we just hope that you and it just all will join Martha and I in transforming your workplace into a mission field.
That's right. You know, and Jim, that it's so important for us as we talk with our guests and with our listeners that they're thinking about this Monday and really have it, trying to have a different approach to it. I've just been really convicted about being intentional in what I think every day, and so thankful for Monday being a day to start fresh. I want to remind our listeners, too, that last week we launched a brand new podcast. So it is called the I Work For Him Power Pod. And listeners, this is an opportunity for you to hear in just 15 minutes some highlights from shows that we have done on our hour-long radio show. And you can get those right pushed to you from your favorite podcast platform every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So make sure you go out and subscribe. We are on several different places, including Charisma Podcast Network. And you can find those on our website at iworkforhim.com, iworkforhim.com.
And that's the I Work For Him Power Pod on all the latest and greatest platforms. And everything can always be found on iworkforhim.com.
Right.
Always. If you ever have any questions about where we are, iworkforhim.com. You know, today we head out to Chicago, Illinois to have a conversation with a world-renowned social media expert, Perry Marshall. He's undeniably one of the world's most expensive consultants, and he's worth it. He'll tell you so. Daily, he produces blogs speaking truth into the marketplace and beyond. He has a passion for business and for creation. Perry Marshall, welcome to I Work For Him.
Glad to be here. It's an honor to be on your show. One of my friends here in Chicago said, oh, you got it. Got to talk to Brangenberg. So here we are, and I'm honored.
Well, we love the Faith Marketplace Radio and with just really with Bob and Jennifer, just great, great, great people. So, Perry, what's your Jesus story?
Well, I grew up a pastor's kid, and so I was immersed in it. But I do remember when I was four, in that environment, you hear this stuff all the time, but I remember walking out of my front yard to the corner of the yard. I was standing on the grass. It was probably 10 o'clock at night, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw the stars, and I thought, oh, that guy they're talking about made all that. And I was like, okay, I'm in.
Wow.
Like, I think I remembered something my Sunday school teacher said. And, you know, people don't actually ask me this very, very often, but that is my first memory of a connection with God. So I guess maybe it's not surprising that I'm interested in where did it all come from?
Because that's what resonated in your heart, was looking at creation and realizing that there, the God that created it all. So that's a really neat connection there. So fast forward, you said, you know, you made that connection in your heart as a little boy to Him being the Lord. How did you, or at what led you to understand that maybe there was a connection with your faith and all of your life, including your work, especially being a pastor's kid? I'm sure you heard a lot from the pulpit about being called to be a pastor, being called to be a missionary, but did you understand a connection of being called to the marketplace?
Well, I had an uncle who was in missions, and I had another uncle who's in missions, and I had a grandpa who was a preacher, and so, like, I just came from a whole family of them, But where I grew up, there was this insinuation. I don't know that it was explicitly stated, but it was always sort of implied that, you know, if you've got a real calling in life, you're going to be in the ministry.
Yeah.
And then everybody else could kind of do the second class jobs if they didn't. Now, they never said this, but it always felt that way. Mm-hmm. I never, ever felt called to be in the church. I always felt like the church was full of poodles, and I need to be with the Wolverines. Like, the you know, poodles get fed their water, and they sit on the couch, and they watch Seinfeld reruns with the kids, and you know, they get their food bowl, and they bark at the birds outside the patio window, and the Wolverines roam wild and free, and they eat what they kill. And I was just more comfortable in the highly competitive business world where, you know, the funny thing about ministry is it's just as competitive as business, and there's just as many contests of, like, who's the greatest. It's just that in the ministry world, they pretend not to be preoccupied with that, and in the business world, they're upfront about the fact that they're preoccupied with that.
But isn't it, you know, but yeah. Isn't it true? I mean, you made a couple of statements that I just want to make sure I challenge on. Okay, but just because you're not working in the church doesn't mean you're not part of the church, right? I mean, because the church is really the body of Christ at large, right?
Well, sure. I mean professional ministry. I mean, right. Like, you know, wearing the cloth and having the collar and, you know, all of that.
I was just going to challenge him. Okay, but aren't you, as one of the world's most expensive marketing and social media consultants, aren't you in the ministry? Aren't you a ministry professional? Aren't you ministering to people out there in the marketplace each and every day?
Well, of course I am, and that's exactly the point, is that mm-hmm. I had to come to a realization that, well, think of it like this. A pastor directly influences people 2 hours a week. Mm-hmm. A CEO directly influences people 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So which is the bigger ministry opportunity? Mm-hmm. And which is the opportunity to build a more sustained culture? So I think entrepreneurs and CEOs are a enormously strategic group of people. They are disproportionately influential. They shape everything. They shape the workplaces that people go to. They shape the businesses that people patronize. They shape the experiences that people have at those businesses. And so I love what I do. And I get a chance to express the culture of heaven every day, everywhere I go. I may say what I'm doing, but I usually don't have to. It's not necessary. I think there's this false dichotomy, and it's everywhere. I mean, it's not like I'm telling you a new idea, but that, like, that division, like, I think most people feel like there's some kind of a tension between these two worlds, and there's just not.
So if you are feeling, I'm curious, this, this, you know, idea that, okay, the church is full of poodles and I'm like a Wolverine, but yet you didn't rebel. You actually embraced what God had created you to do. Can you speak about that for a minute?
Well, all pastors' kids are rebellious. I've hardly met one that isn't.
Okay.
You know, they're cantankerous creatures, and they have this funny way of kind of crashing through the pinball machine of life. So I didn't have, like, some big rebellious streak, but I did, you know, pretty early on, I was doing entrepreneurial things, and I needed to take as big a bite out of life as I could. And so But one of the other things about entrepreneurs is they take a lot of risk and endure a lot of pressure and sweat a lot of bullets. And I think the entrepreneur journey is absolutely a faith journey, whether people believe in God or not. You are always creating something that has never existed before, or stepping out on a ledge where you have no way of guaranteeing that there's going to be anything under your feet. And a lot of us go splat, and we go splat repeatedly, and we all hit bottom. And I find that entrepreneurs and business people are generally more receptive to spiritual things than most people because we live on the edge.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's a good point.
When we come back, lots more with Perry Marshall as we dig into faith in the marketplace as a social media expert. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. Hang on.
Luke and Dave with Belair Wealth Management are longtime supporters of I Work For Him and have a passion for sharing biblically responsible investing with the I Work For Him nation. Have you ever considered that your investment portfolio contains businesses that turn a profit by working in direct opposition to God's Word? Call Luke and Dave at Belair Wealth Management at 727-798-4188. That's 727-798-4188. And find out if your investment or retirement portfolio aligns with God's heart.
Do you own apartments or serve on the condo board? Are you trying to lower water consumption? Think Utility Services is a Kingdom company committed to conservation of both water and cash. They'll help you stabilize your community's annual budget and dramatically lower costs. By installing individual water meters, charging residents for only what they consume, you can decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. Find out how by calling 888-MY-METER. Online at thinkutilityservices.com. thinkutilityservices.com.
The world operates on supply and demand. If people will pay for it, someone will provide it. Jesus the Messiah knows that unbelievers create demand by idolizing wealth, celebrity, beauty, and political power. Believers can reduce the supply of worldliness and increase the demand for the Lord by pursuing what is true, noble, right, and pure. Chasing worldly idols wears people out. Following the Lord invigorates. So you tired? Worn out? The Messiah is calling. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light. You have what the world needs. Increase demand for Christ by resting in Him. Got questions? Find answers. Mark829.com.
Hey, welcome to I Work For Him. As Martha and I just welcome you to the whole, just a Monday afternoon Romans 12:2 paradigm shift to recognize that your workplace, it's your mission field. And in that mission field, you and me may be the only Jesus our coworkers and employees may ever meet. Now that Romans 12:2, what's it say? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You need to recognize the fact that God wants you to look at work the way He looks at work. He created work long before evil entered the world. He created work to bring about flourishing, and He created work to be a worship spot. And He created your workplace to be a mission field because you are surrounded by people who are hurting and who the enemy has control over, and these people desperately need to meet Jesus. Make sure you check us out online, iworkforhim.com. We're so grateful that you tuned in this afternoon. Martha, why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of us on the listener line?
Well, Jim, we have a listener line. It's 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK. And listeners, I just want to encourage you to reach out to us there. Leave us a message. If there's something that you hear today that maybe you have a question on or you want to expand on or you just want us to talk further and maybe dig in a little deeper in something, this is a great way for you to reach out to us and let us know that. Also, let us know what's going on in your life. You know, Jim, I just had someone call last week who their, I don't even know how this happens, but somebody, their son heard a show we were on, like through the internet, and reached out and asked for a book that we had talked about on the air. And it's just really neat. I mean, we know that I never thought about the prisons being a workplace, but it is his place of work right now. It's where God has him as a thriving believer influencing people. So this listener line is a great way to connect with us. Please call 866-713-9675.
Hey, we have a privilege today of talking with Perry Marshall, one of the world's most expensive consultants. You can check him out online, perrymarshall.com, perrymarshall.com. Perry Marshall, welcome to I Work For Him.
Thank you for having me. We're having fun today.
All right, so let's talk about this. Social media, I mean, it's your playing field. It is, it's the baseball diamond of your life, and you are the owner. Because you, I mean, you, as you brag about on your website, it's hilarious. I love it. You're the one of the world's most expensive consultants in this area. How did social media, the playing field of really the bastion of the enemy, become your playing field, and how do you help people play there?
So, I know a church that's raising $100 million for a capital campaign, and I could be wrong, but I don't know that there's a big item in that budget for media expense. And I'm an advertising guy. You can buy eyeballs. I'm specifically a paid social media expert. Most people think of the free stuff and the viral stuff, but I'm talking about the ability to put down money and get in front of eyeballs. And this is an area where kingdom people are woefully light years behind. I'll give you an example of somebody who is on the cutting edge. I got a friend named Marilyn Adamson. She runs a site called everystudent.com. They do a ton of Google advertising. And they spend about $1.5 million a year on advertising. Their site shares the gospel, and for every $5 they spend, somebody fills in a form and says, "I just received Christ or recommitted."
Wow.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you had a magic gumball machine, and every time you put $5 in the gumball machine and twisted the crank, a new Christian came out, how many dollars would you put in it?
As many as I had.
Well,
that's incredible.
So how come they've only got $1 million or $2 million in this thing instead of $100 or $200 million?
Because we're building.
And I'm not criticizing.
You just said the church was building a $100 million building. I mean, that's not in the New Testament, build a $100 million building. Why don't you call that church and say, "Listen, I got a way for you to get more believers at $5 a pop."
Well, I haven't been successful in convincing him, but this is what I'm talking about. I started a project like this, kind of like Every Student, in 2002, and I started buying Google clicks. And it was very similar. It was a website called coffeehousetheology.com. There's another site, evo2.org, that deals with the science side. But I figured out I could get people on an email sequence that shares the gospel, and it would cost me about 50 cents a person. And I learned a lot by doing that. Eventually, those mailing lists swelled to 250,000 people. And it led to some projects that I'm working on now. And Christians are overwhelmingly behind in this kind of conversation. Because I don't look at the internet as this thing that belongs to the dark side. I look at the internet as something that's available to everybody, and there's all kinds of areas of culture where Christians don't have a voice because they've abdicated it, because they're being poodles instead of Wolverines, okay? Jesus was not a poodle.
Yeah.
Jesus was a ferocious guy. Okay. He terrified those guys. That's why they crucified him. They were scared to death. What is this guy going to do to our happy little party in our good old boys club here?
Right.
Our power structure.
Destroying
yeah.
it. Right?
All right.
And this is what Christians need to be doing. And whether they're doing it in the marketplace or doing it in ministry, we need to be smart about media.
Well, and we need to be looking at the marketplace as the largest ministry place in the world, because we keep, just as you just said, whether we do it in the marketplace or in ministry, we need to combine those, because we need to be doing it in the marketplace ministry, because 65 or 70% sure. of the population is never going to a four walls church, yet they're exposed to the body of Christ each and every day. So turn that idea then, Perry Marshall, into, take that idea of somebody spending $5, and every $5 person, somebody's actually leading themselves or getting led to Christ through a conversation. Turn that idea into connecting our faith and our work, because this is a conversation where we've been on the air for 6.5 years. You talk with Bob and Jennifer out of Chicago. They've been on the air for multiple years as well. There's another guy in D.C. that's on Saturdays as well. I mean, there's 50 million Christians that are out there in the workplace today. How do we get the message to all of them that their work matters to God? What's the capital campaign we need to have there to get that message into their hands? Because too many Christians grew up just like you and me and Martha, being told that first-class citizens, pastor, missionary. Second-class citizens, everybody else. Support first-class citizens. That's where we all grew up.
When I got into my 20s and I started encountering entrepreneurial people, I started hearing the sales pitches about, you know, own your own business and be your own boss and all of that. and it really appealed to me, but I had to spend a long time processing that, because what I had been taught was to be an obedient worker bee. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I had been taught to have a healthy skepticism and even disdain for money. Okay. You be careful. Like, don't you go chasing money, because, you know, those who chase money have been pierced with many a pang. And of course they can quote all kinds of scriptures about that. But I had to think this through, and I thought, okay, so my life is the parable of the talents right now, every day. And I'm 20 years old, and in 30 years, I'm going to be 50 years old. And if I'm not careful, I am going to end up chained to some job that I hate because they have health insurance or some similarly stupid reason. And I remember thinking, okay, if I can go be successful in business, if I can earn some of my time back, if I can earn some of my freedom, then I can do what's actually important to me. I could do kingdom work, or I could pursue a passion, or whatever it is that I felt led to do. And I became terrified of being stuck in the hamster wheel of a traditional career. Well, so I had to overcome the education that I got of, you know, just being the being the submissive, good quality worker. I've told entrepreneurs many times, actually, if you want to hire an employee who will say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, not steal anything, come in early, leave late, never hurt you, and never start a business that goes and competes with you, hire a Missouri Synod Lutheran, an evangelical Christian, or a Mormon, and you will get that guy.
And when we come back, we're gonna follow up on that conversation. You listen to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg, as we talk with Perry Marshall. Check him out online, perrymarshall.com, perrymarshall.com. We'll be right back.
How would you like to own your own business and honor and glorify God within that business? Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Systems, an award-winning faith-based commercial cleaning franchise system, has been around for 27 years and is now offering franchises in the I Work For Him listener area. If you'd like to know how you can participate in this faith-based business culture while being a 100% owner of your own growing franchise, visit Office Pride today at officepridefranchise.com or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride has proven systems that will teach you everything you need to know about the commercial cleaning industry and how to scale a business within that industry. Office Pride is looking for business builders like you. To check out this amazing opportunity, visit officepridefranchise.com. That's officepridefranchise.com or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride, their values make them different. officepridefranchise.com.
Promise Keepers is back. It's time to take back what manhood is supposed to look like. Next July 31st, Promise Keepers comes to AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Imagine over 80,000 men gathered to worship, pray, receive encouragement, and a fresh vision for who we are called to be as men of God. Bring your sons, your fathers, your friends, and neighbors to Promise Keepers next summer in Dallas. Registration is now open at PromiseKeepers.org. Register at PromiseKeepers.org.
Do you own apartments or serve on the condo board? Are you trying to lower water consumption? Think Utility Services is a Kingdom company committed to conservation of both water and cash. They'll help you stabilize your community's annual budget and dramatically lower costs. By installing individual water meters, charging residents for only what they consume, you can decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. Find out how by calling 888.
I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Britain's House of Commons has demanded the government hand over communications among officials about its decision to suspend Parliament and its plans for a no-deal Brexit. Lawmakers have passed a motion calling on the government to release by Wednesday formal or informal emails and text messages between aides and officials relating to the suspension, as well as to the impact of leaving the European Union without a deal. Under parliamentary rules, the government is obliged to release them. President Trump says U.S. talks with the Taliban in Afghanistan are dead after they collapsed last week. What had seemed an imminent deal to end America's longest war unraveled at the last minute. Mr. Trump tweeted Saturday evening that he had canceled his planned meeting with the Taliban and Afghan leaders at Camp David this past weekend. On Wall Street, the Dow by 38 points, the Nasdaq dropped 15. More details at srnnews.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from
Jacksonville News at the top of the hour on Talk 100.3.
Good afternoon, I'm Nikki Whaley. JSO is asking for the public's help in finding a shooter who opened fire outside of an Arlington apartment complex on Townsend Boulevard on Sunday afternoon. JSO received the call that multiple shots were fired, and when they arrived, they found the boy with two gunshot wounds to his back. His wounds are not believed to be life-threatening. According to News 4 Jax, this is the 14th person shot in Jacksonville in the past 15 days. An accident on Saturday afternoon now brings the total of traffic fatalities in Duval County to 116 this year. That's according to JSO. A teenager was struck and killed Saturday around 4 p.m. when he ran out into the road to get into his family's van. The two-lane road leads to Cedar Point, which is a very popular fishing area. The crash took place at Cedar Point Road and Saw Pit Road. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Please call our listener line and leave us a question or suggestion about a topic you'd like covered on I Work For Him. 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK. 866-713-9675. Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as we're talking with Perry Marshall. Really love for you to check him out online. Subscribe to some of his blogs, perrymarshall.com, perrymarshall.com. Perry, right before the break, you're saying, listen, if somebody wants to hire the perfect employee who will never ask questions, who will show up for work on time, who will do what they're told to do, and never leave and start a business just like theirs, to hire people, you know, hire poodles, basically, is what you said, hire poodles instead of hire wolverines. Yet that's, I mean, if we hire people that aren't going to challenge us, then we're never really going to grow in a business, are we, or in any organization?
Well, yeah, and see, I was taught to be a poodle and not taught to be the wolverine, and I really think when you read the story of the parable of the talents, when you get to the guy who buried his talent, he said, well, you're such a careful, fearsome master, I was afraid I would lose all your money, so I buried it, so here you go. you got what you gave me, and the guy is mad. Okay, now, even though we know that story and we hear that story, this is exactly what most Christians do. Most Christians do not try to be exceptionally successful. They do not try to be excessively influential. They do not try to be disproportionately powerful. Okay, they just obey what everybody tells them to do, and they become unwitting participants in highly corrupt systems in which they have no voice. And then you wonder why everybody's angry and why everybody thinks Donald Trump is going to save us or somebody else is going to save us because, well, Trump, whatever you think about Trump, at least he's a Wolverine. I mean, we could at least agree on that. Okay. And Christians abdicate their power and their responsibility because they are not trying to, like, Christians are not getting jobs in science. Christians are not being entrepreneurs. Christians are not running secular universities. They retreat into comfortable little kumbaya zones where all the poodles hold hands and sing songs together instead of being Wolverines.
But it's okay. We have to be careful with the absolutes because we on this show in the last 6.5 years have interviewed people that are influential in all those areas. You said they're just not most Christians. The large majority of Christians are not pushing the envelope to be influencers in the seven mountains of cultural influence or however you want to break it up in this country. But we need to be challenged that way. But again, that goes back to the equipping that they get on a Sunday morning.
So Perry, talk to our listeners. You know, maybe they have a fire burning in them, but they've never felt like they had permission to do anything about it and to kind of break out and say, you know what, God created me for something very special, but I'm not doing it. And they can make an impact on the kingdom in whatever that area is. Talk to our listeners and give them some, maybe a couple of ideas or steps that they could take to start seeking what God really wants them to be doing.
So I'm giving you permission now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And here's a verse for you. Here's a scripture. Isaiah 45, 1-3. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, or substitute, like stick your name in there, whose right hand I have taken hold of, to subdue nations before him, to strip kings of their armor, to open wide the double doors, that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you. I will level the mountains. I will smash the gates of bronze. I will cut the iron bars, and I will give to you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. And most Christians, when they get an inspiration or they get an idea or they get swept away by, oh, you know, we could do this or we could do that. What I was taught to do was, boy, you got to second guess that thing. I don't know. That might not be from God. That might just be filthy lucre tempting you. And like people, they tell you this kind of stuff and it just holds you down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like the irony is the guy that tells you that is actually powerful and influential. He's just threatened by your independence. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to be challenged. We got all kinds of churches that they don't want people with ideas. They don't want people with initiative. I have been part of 3 churches in my life that have had catastrophic leadership failures. And in all 3 cases, it was the inability of the elders or the leadership to rein in a charismatic leader that everybody else was obeying.
Mm. Okay, so you got a lot of, I mean, the iWork for Him listeners span the way different, many different parts of the organizational chart, you know, from the beginning, from a starting job at the bottom of the totem pole to the top. Yet God doesn't rank any of them in the kingdom that way. He looks at all those jobs as significant, whether they are the janitor, the bathroom cleaner, all the way up to the CEO. Somebody might be selling used cars in a parking lot. They might be an attorney, a criminal law attorney, a criminal defense attorney, which we've interviewed a couple of them because they said that Jesus was a criminal defense attorney. So everybody in between, what is the most significant? I know, I like that. I'd love to be able to go down a rabbit hole with you on that one, but I don't want to yet today. Tell me, what's the one thing you see Christ followers that are out there that really love Jesus and they really want, you see them out there in a marketplace, lots of different levels within the organization. What's the biggest thing you see them struggling with today?
So in the story of Gideon, Gideon is, if you read it carefully, it's like he is the lowliest guy in the smallest family in the most insignificant clan. And he's like, so are you sure about this, God? Like, you really want me to do this? Like, that's what that fleece thing was, right? And then I also think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and the whole story of Daniel, where these are the sharp, they're anointed by God, and because of the wisdom that God gives them, they are the sharpest guys in Babylon. And I think the biggest challenge is Christians not owning their authority. And I don't just mean their spiritual kingdom authority. I do mean that. But I also mean their giftedness, their job, their scope of responsibility. Christians need to be leaders. If you read the scriptures, you see story after story after story after story of insignificant janitor-like people. You can think of Gideon as a janitor. Okay, he's over in the corner with his little threshing floor doing, like, I think he was like illegally grinding corn or something because they were under the thumb of some oppressive ruler somewhere.
Yeah, the Midianites.
And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Okay, the story after story after story in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is these insignificant people rising to prominence, but also the disciples. Okay, all these fishermen, they became some of the most influential people in the history of the world. So my message is go big, shoulder more responsibility, do more. Now, I've got a friend who he decided that he wanted to run for president, and I don't think it's actually going to happen this term, maybe next time around. But when he started telling people, I want to run for president, almost like there was a script in people's heads, all of his Christian friends said to him, oh, boy, what a strain that's going to put on your family. Well, of course, being the president of the United States is going to put a strain on your family. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Christians aren't going to be president because it's going to put a strain on their family? Is that what you're telling me? Like, this is how people think. And he told me, he goes, it just astounded me how many people said that to me as though it was some script just floating around in the air, and their brain just grabbed onto it as soon as I told them I was going to run. Like,
and really, what they were doing is squelching that instead of celebrating that God maybe had called him to that role. Isn't that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Because if he'd said, you know what, I think I'm going to volunteer for the parking team on Sunday mornings, nobody would object. Okay? They wouldn't give any reason why.
No offense to the parking team members listening to the show today.
That's right. We appreciate them.
I do appreciate you, but you know what? If you're on the parking team, I bet there's a bigger responsibility in the kingdom that you could do than that.
Yep.
I bet there is. You know, and don't play a small game. Play a big game. People will respect you. People respect money. People respect power. Why does absolute power corrupt absolutely? Because there's no kingdom in that power.
Right. So how
was, you know, you, can I just one more thing?
Go ahead.
When they called Daniel and said, what is that writing on the wall? If you can tell us what that writing on the wall is, we'll give you like all this riches and a third of the kingdom. You know what he said? Keep your trinkets. I'm going to tell you what that means. Like, he was indifferent to it. He was being offered absolute power, and it didn't affect him at all because he was a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I am talking about. You need to be Daniel, not the parking. I'm not insulting the parking people, but I know if you're on the parking team, you can do something bigger than that, and you should, and any real leader wants you to. You can always find more people to do parking. We need presidents. We need congressmen. We need university professors. We need intellectuals. We need thinkers. We need entrepreneurs badly.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I hope our listeners are hearing that, and maybe it's stirring up something inside of somebody today, Jim.
And if you want to hear more from Perry Marshall, I mean, he's got so much information out there. Just got a passionate heart. Check him out online, perrymarshall.com. Perrymarshall.com. You may not be able to afford him as a consultant, but you can let him feed into you with his blogs that he gets out so often during the week. Perry, when we come back, I want to dream with you for just a minute. You know, what you just described is that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all had the unfair advantage with them in their roles in ruling in Babylon. And that same unfair advantage was also available to Gideon. And that same unfair advantage is available to you and me and Martha and everybody listening. I want to talk to you about that unfair advantage that we have. Hey, you're listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. Check us out online, iworkforhim.com. All the latest, all the greatest is out there on iworkforhim.com. Always check us out there. If you're listening to the show on one of our affiliates that plays the 30 minutes, check out the rest of the show on iworkforhim.com. Also, check out our I Work For Him Power Pod on your favorite Power Pod podcast platform near you.
Sidera delivers a fresh approach that's reshaping the healthcare landscape. How? We provide uncommonly high levels of service and a superior healthcare experience while delivering tremendous value for members and their families. The Sidera solution blends several service options to offer our members a high-quality healthcare solution at a low cost. Sidera members typically save 30 to 60% compared to other healthcare options. For large, unexpected medical expenses, Sidera's community is here to help. There are no out-of-network concerns when it comes to medical costs. Members can visit the physician, clinic, or hospital that best meets their needs when they're sick or injured. At Sidera, we're building a new kind of community, one whose members commit to pursuing a healthy lifestyle and sharing the cost of medical care. We would love for you to join us and invite you to reach out today.
Online at Sidera.com. That's Sidera.com. Welcome to the I Work For Him Radio Power Thought for the Day. I'm Jim Brangenberg, host of the I Work For Him Radio program, heard 5 days a week. I don't know about you, but I seem to have a love-hate relationship with networking. I love to meet new people and connect with them and hear their stories, but it often feels disingenuous, like I'm doing it so I can get something out of them. A recent colleague we interviewed suggested that a person can set their motivation in networking as giving to grow versus the traditional networking idea of giving to get. I love that. We challenge you to strike networking from your vocabulary and calendar and replace it with relationship building to grow in Christ. I think this is a great idea. By setting our heart on coming together with others in the workplace and marketplace to grow them and ourselves in Christ. What a great way to live out Philippians 2:4. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. Won't you join us in living this out in your work today? For more about I Work For Him and how you can listen every day to Christ followers just like you who are living out their faith in their work, go to iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as we're talking with Perry Marshall. Check him out online, perrymarshall.com, perrymarshall.com. Have you ever thought, wow, is there any hope left for Chicago? Absolutely, perrymarshall.com. Perry, have you ever thought about running for mayor of Chicago to try to straighten it up?
My domain is not politics. I have some very, very specific things that I am working on. One of them is the Evolution 2.0 project. You can, on Amazon, there's a book called Evolution 2.0. You know, there are people that are called to politics. I am not one of them. But, you know, you guys talk about the seven mountains. Mm-hmm. So, okay, think about the mountains, but think about, I want you to just like, imagine that you have a hammer and you have a spike, and your spike is like 12 miles long, and you're gonna point that spike at some particular part in the foundation of that mountain, and you're going to drive that spike in and you're going to crack it. And it's like in the world, there is a crack in the sidewalk with your name in it. And if you drive your spike deep enough into that crack, you will shift something very foundational in the world, which changes that mountain forever.
Mm.
Okay. And that is what I am doing. And that's how you should do it. Don't think of it like I'm going to be the king of an entire mountain. Think of it like I'm going to be a big fish in a little pond, and I'm going to pick the pond very, very strategically to match my gifting, my inclination, my talent, my background, my surroundings, and I have a holy discontent. There is something in the world that there's a problem that needs to be fixed, and it's got my name on it. Mm-hmm. And you assiduously focus on that problem, and you can't solve everything. The worst thing you can do is like try to solve all the problems. You'll solve none of the problems.
As kids, we all played King of the Mountain, and you just made such a great analogy, because instead of trying to fight for the top of the mountain, to really, the word that came to my mind, that spike that you drive in, is really being a disruptor for the kingdom, you know, saying, what can I do in this sphere of influence that can really, you know, kind of shake things up a little bit for the kingdom and really make an impact. So I love that analogy, because you know me, I'm all about that picture.
Yeah, but
so.
Did you ever play King of the Mountain? Were you ever at the top? Because I threw people off the top of the mountain all the time.
I'm very little, so I never won the game. I was never on the top.
Once I got muscles, that was a great show. Perry, right before the break, I talked about the unfair advantage that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Gideon, so many biblical heroes had, that you and I have that same unfair advantage today in the marketplace, in our workplaces. That unfair advantage is the spirit of the living God that allows us to be powerful and influential in our positions. Isn't that really what you were hinting at with Daniel and Gideon?
Yeah, and there are two parts to that. One of them is wisdom, and the other is prophecy. And what I mean by prophecy is people who actually hear God in some discernible way. So, let me tell you, like, the biggest thing that ever happened in my entire career, I was reading a book about the 80-20 principle, and I had this epiphany, and I thought, hey, wait a minute, this is a math formula. How would you figure this out? And then earlier that week, I had done something in my business that made a bunch of money, and I was thinking, how could I use my business to help these kids in Mozambique? And I was obsessing about a math problem in Mozambique. And I went to church, and they were playing this music on a Friday night. And this, I looked up, and this black woman is making a beeline for me. I've never seen her in my life. She goes, hi, my name is Vivian. The Lord gave me a word for you. I've never had this happen in my life. I'm like, whoa, this should be interesting. She says, the Lord told me that you are very, very good at math, and you work in some kind of equation, some kind of formula, some kind of invention, and you're going to figure it out. And I just stared at her like, how many people in this room are working on a math problem right now? And then she says, oh, and he told me something else too. You want to support missions, and God is going to bless your business so you can support missions. And I stared at her with my mouth open, and I said, if only you knew. And she goes, he knows. And she just walked away.
Wow.
Well, so 3 years later, I figured out the math formula, and it's the backbone of my book, 80-20 Sales and Marketing. It got published in Harvard Business Review Italy last year. NASA uses it at Jet Propulsion Labs in one of their productivity workshops. About 6 months after I had that conversation, my business started taking off, and it was because I was teaching Google advertising, which started with an email I had gotten 3 days before that. and my business did take off, and I was able to support missions. Now, that is what I call a prophetic word. God talked to her. Now, I became friends with her much, 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 much later. I found her, and she said she was having an argument with God when she was there. Like, I don't want to talk to this guy. I don't go to this church. I don't know who this guy is. And he's like, no, you talk to you, you, you. And so she went and she did it. It completely changed her life and my life. And a lot of times, as Christians, we know things and we don't know why we know them. Mm-hmm. And it's because the Spirit is telling us that. And I think the highest skill that you can cultivate is the discernment to start to pick up, hey, I think that was a memo from the head office. I think I better go act on that. And when you do, the Holy Spirit will start doing more and more through you.
Just that first step of obedience. Okay, so let's just dream for a minute. This is the last question I have for you for the show. Christians, as you stated, really, there's no reason why in this country we shouldn't be the number one influencers in this country. We founded this country. It's what it was founded on, the fact that people want to live out their faith in freedom. That's why we came here. That's why we settled this country. And yet we've abdicated, that's the word that I like to use, we've abdicated the major points of influence in this country. Yet we have the ability, if we're willing to be obedient, and because we have the unfair advantage of the power of the Holy Spirit behind us, to regain that influence. How would you do it? If you could have that same $100 million that church is trying to raise in order to build a building, if you had that same $100 million, could we gain some influence in this country for Christ?
So you don't need half the people. You don't need a quarter of the people. You don't need 10% of the people. The 80-20 rule says you only need 1% to be absolutely determined, and you will get the result that you want. The 80-20 principle says that 1% of people affects 50% of what goes on. And this is why I'm talking about being influential. I think the key is concentrated focus, prophecy, and prayer. I think those are the levers. That is the like 12-mile-long narrow spike that goes into the center of the mountain and shifts the foundation, disrupts the market, disrupts the situation. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, four guys. We don't know the names of hardly anybody else in the Babylonian Empire, but we know those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You do it the same way Daniel did.
And say those three things again. You said concentrated focus.
Concentrated focus, prophecy, and prayer.
Prophecy and prayer.
So with the years that you have left, here you got 35 seconds to answer this question. With the years you have left, how do you plan on using concentrated focus, prophecy, and prayer to use the talents that God has given Perry Marshall to impact this country for the kingdom?
I am bringing those skills into entrepreneurship and science, and I am bringing the three together. I'm bringing the Holy Spirit, entrepreneurship, and science together, as those are the three weapons, the three powers, and that is what I am doing for the rest of my life.
If you want to find out more about Perry Marshall, check him out online, perrymarshall.com, perrymarshall.com. A conversation we could have had for several more hours. But, Perry, we appreciate your time. Appreciate the detail and the effort. You really have everybody. If you're interested in science at all and God's got you leaning that way, you need to read his book, Evolution 2.0, and find out about the contest he's offering out there. But, Perry Marshall, thank you so much for being on I Work For Him today, for sharing your story, and for living out your faith in the marketplace in a really influential spot. Perry Marshall, thank you for being on I Work For Him.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both. Thank you. It's been great. Thank you.
Awesome.
You've been listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
America's First News with Gordon Deal at 5 a.m., Hugh Hewitt at 6, Del Wamsley at noon, Dave Ramsey at 2,
and Larry Elder at 6 p.m. This is Talk 100.3.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you're interested in buying a fine quality diamond, but might start with a smaller diamond and then over time grow that to a larger size diamond, at Underwoods we have a way to do that, and we've been doing it for more than 50 years. We call it Grow a Diamond, and here's how it works. When a customer buys an Underwood engagement ring, solitaire diamond pendant, or a pair of ear studs, we guarantee they get the price they paid for it on the purchase of any bigger diamond. Now, a lot of stores would say, big deal, we do that too, but here's the Underwood difference. We guarantee you get what you paid when you trade in your Underwood diamond, even if you're only trading up by $1. It's not that you have to trade up two for one like most jewelers ask. We've done this with thousands of customers through the years, so if you're interested in growing a diamond, come by and see us at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-4673.